You're currently listening to the Orca Man podcast on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia.
This episode is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.
For this episode of the podcast, I talk with an elementary school teacher from Miami. Now, this class in particular has meant a lot to my growth in performing as the Orca Man and putting out educational videos both online and different platforms, and this podcast itself on all of the places where it is streaming, if only because I wasn't entirely sure where it would end up in the beginning. Well, luck comes to find it, Miss Vicky and her class ended up stumbling upon all of my Orca content and have developed Orca Mania of their own down in Miami, which has been so phenomenal to be a part of and listen to. So, without further ado, let me introduce you to Miss Vicky.
Well, hello everybody, I'm the Orca Man, Fred, and today I'm here with Miss Vicky. Miss Vicky, I'll let you introduce yourself just a little bit and then we'll dive right in.
All right, hi, I'm Vicky, I'm 22, I'm from Miami, and I work with kids at a school.
Woohoo, so great. All right, so the first question that I have is where/when did you come upon my pages on, whether it was TikTok or Instagram?
A student showed me like the waterfall kind of video that you did.
Okay, yep.
And we were like, because I literally wear orca earrings all the time. I have them in now, like a manatee and an orca. So like they know that I like whales and stuff. So the kid was like, oh, look at this guy's page. And I was like, wait. I was like, what's his app for scientific purposes? Because he's cute. And she was like, oh, this is his app. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it just went from there. Like they would distract me on purpose with like your TikTok. They would be like, oh, did you see this one? I was like, no, I haven't seen it yet. Let's watch it.
Terrible. So to them, it was like being a kid and doing that. So that makes it even funnier that I wouldn't expect. What got you into orcas in the first place if you already had the earrings and the rest?
As a kid, well, I grew up in Miami, Miami Sea Aquarium. As a kid, I always thought they were cool. Free Willy, obviously, as a kid, was one of my favorite movies.
100%.
I always liked Free Willy. You can ask my dad, like, he will tell you. I watched that VHS tape. I think we still have it in the attic somewhere, but, like, I watched it until I could not, like...
Thing wasn't working anymore. Stopped,
in essence. Yeah, I don't think it worked anymore. But just that, and then I always liked the ocean. Like, I was little and I wanted to be an orca trainer.
Oh yeah.
I don't know where that went, but that was my goal as a kid.
That's awesome.
And I always liked going to like the whale shows.
Gotcha. Well, with the whale shows, especially in Miami, that's about the closest place to see orcas, if anything. Like, there's not really another place you can go.
Drive from my house.
Yeah. Is that Orlando? Oh, right, because it's Miami Sea Aquarium right there.
Yeah, it's still pretty far from my house where I live because I live closer to the Florida Keys and I do that part of Miami. So
how far is Orlando from Miami and the Sea Aquarium? Because I actually haven't looked up the distance. Oh, really?
It's like a 4-hour drive. I have been to SeaWorld and seen the orca show several times as a kid.
No, that's fair. That's where I'm pretty sure I have pictures just around of me. Because I only went to San Diego. I haven't been to any of the parks in Florida just at all growing up. So it's always interesting to hear about people in the different areas, at least, because each of the parks are different. And I know Miami Sea Aquarium is its own beast. I know I've been to Marineland in Canada, but like I said, that was one whale in different places. What grade do you teach?
Fourth and fifth.
Yeah, fourth and fifth was about the time where we would try to sidetrack our teachers about as much as humanly possible, I want to say. Like, if I'm looking back and thinking back, I think we got one of them on, like, graveyards to dinosaurs was one tangent that I can explicitly remember because it went on for, like, an hour.
That was tangents were pretty long.
So
whether, like, Harry Potter related, Star Wars related, or Orca related, they just knew how to...
They knew how to drag you on between them. That's impressive. Those are three interesting ones for kids to explicitly get into. Because Harry Potter was, I feel like, more like heavily pushed in our generation. Star Wars a little bit, only because of the new ones.
Yeah, a lot of them were really into Harry Potter this year, which was actually made me proud. So I was like, oh, it's like something from my childhood is like finally coming to. I That had to be TikTok too. There's no way.
Oh yeah, that like, there's
on its own without TikTok.
TikTok is funny with that because people have really taken Harry Potter like to another extent with it. Like I've seen the orca stuff is only so much. Star Wars is just people with lightsabers. Like it's like people doing thirst traps and people looks with
like Kylo Ren. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I've seen him.
They showed me him too.
He's a good looking dude. He has a couple different ones, I'm pretty sure, because he does John Wick. He's Keanu Reeves.
No, there's a guy that's like it's just his pages that he looks like Kylo Ren. There's a couple that look like Kylo Ren.
Okay.
But there's one that is like a spitting image. It's nuts.
I'm surprised. That was one of the things when I was first starting with this, actually, just because there's literally a person for everything on TikTok. Like you can explicitly find people. There's one guy for lightsabers, there's one guy that looks like Kylo Ren. I know there's 1,000 others, but when I was initially looking, I couldn't find any marine science ones. So I was like, the closest thing was, you know, Numain, is that the account name? Like the guy who talks about animals, like specifically, it's like usually like a minute long video.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. But that guy, he was the closest thing I could find to it. I also find it funny that the waterfall video was the one that first set it off. So for anybody that doesn't understand, the waterfall, basically on TikTok, there's different effects you can use. And so there's one where it like takes one section of the screen and just brings it down. And what I used to do is take like two sweatshirts, like one black, one white. And then I had a piece of like paper towel in my mouth and I would like make an orca. And that was a thing for like a good 3 months, which was funny. When I actually didn't even look. Because even before that, I'm pretty sure you followed me and then you've reached out because you were talking about the kids at one point.
I think you'd come across my page previously, but I had followed you, but I wasn't really paying attention.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure I saw an orca later, but I was like, nice. And I followed you. And then I didn't really like focus on what your channel was about until one of the girls like found it and was like, oh, look, like this guy, orcas.
He's like teaching.
I was like, oh shit, okay.
I started getting more and more.
Yeah, the minute I saw her kind of take interest in like what you were really talking about, and she became like extremely upset about the fact that Miami Sea Aquarium operates the way it does.
Yeah.
Clicked. And then I heard like you had released the first episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I listened to it first myself, and then I played it for them. And then they all kind of were like, oh shit, this is kind of cool.
You played the podcast in the class?
Yeah, during free time. It wasn't explicit. I listened to it first.
Oh yeah, no. I come that like the fact that you played it in the class is the more of the part. I know for a fact because it was also with my dad.
Yeah, so it's with your dad. And I think you were just talking about like how you got into it. And most of them have been to Miami Sea Aquarium.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID, that was one of our field trips. I didn't like to go, but they would do the whale show and I would go and I would just stand outside.
Yeah. It'd be a school trip at the end of the day.
Yeah, so like that was like their extent of like where it started and ended really for them with orcas. So once I saw they were taking interest, I was like, okay, this is something I can incorporate into like daily conversation and talking to them about like the topic to see where it goes.
That's awesome. That's what. So there was one girl who initially showed you and was like, oh my god, this guy's talking about orcas. Whatever, orcas are really cool now. Did that bleed into the rest of the class, like with her friends, or was it like how did that end up going? Like, was it you?
It was like she would show her friends, and then her friends were like, do you know who this guy is? I was like, oh yeah, so and so showed him to me. And they were like, oh, he's cute. How old is he? And I was like, you guys are children.
Like,
and then it became a well, you're single, you should date. And I was like, No. I was like, I'm gonna use this to teach you.
There you go. It was you gotta use the skills where you can, or use the use the information where you can at that point, especially too, if that's with kids right now, if you can get them interested in crap that they're already seeing, then it can only extend further than that.
Yeah, exactly. Which I was shocked that it even came up on her TikTok, knowing that the other kids, like their For You page was like Charli D'Amelio and like Addison Rae and like all these other big, I guess, TikTok names.
Yeah.
That I didn't really know about until they talked about it.
That's fair. I can remember, like, this one of the funny things too is either like with my For You page, I've never seen Charli or Addison show up, or like a lot of the big names ever. Yeah, I'm starting to think it's fake. but No, that's extremely interesting. I'm also like, this is one thing that I've tried to keep in mind a little bit more every time. It's like, there are any number of people watching my stuff at any given point in time. That's been a weird thing to navigate. But that being said, once they started kind of building up, what were some of the key things that you kind of like attached to in terms of the education, or like what did you talk about to get them excited?
I think more like once I saw that they were really all kind of like paying attention to what you did.
Yeah.
Like, and what you like, I guess, study. Once I had told them, I like had DM'd you on Instagram, all of them were freaking out. I was like,
immediately okay. Like, okay, they're in.
They're in it. They're paying attention. Yeah. So I just started kind of talking to them more about conservation and like why we have to, I've always been a stickler when they bring in single use plastics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we're not gonna listen to the Orca Man today if y'all bring y'all bring single-use plastic water bottles in my class. Like them talking to their friends about like orcas and kids outside the class and during the after school care program, which I also worked, they started talking to the little ones, like the little kindergartners and little ones about orcas. And then I'm telling you, it was orca mania throughout the entire school from like January to June.
It really started at the beginning of the semester, because January is when I like started this thing. It was, yeah, it had once to have been right at the beginning. Once the podcast
launched, it was like
game over.
Orca mania, like throughout the whole school, ridiculous.
So, and like that's seriously a trend throughout the school from what you feel like, from even the conversations that we've had so far.
Yeah.
Was there a point where you're like, this is getting big, like in terms of like your personal circles? Because I can only imagine if the kids are saying what the parents must be saying.
I knew it had gotten a little crazy. I knew it hit, it like really, really hit, I think like April when I adopted their orca.
Yep.
I think that's when like I realized what did I create? When I turned around and I was like, these kids, when I had sent you like the video of them reacting to the news.
Oh yeah.
They were freaking out. And then you sent back that video and they were freaked out. Like there was kids crying. Oh. Because you had given them a shout out and they were like obsessed.
I have to say, damn. Yeah. No, that's phenomenal. How planned was the orca adoption? Like how long in advance were you like, okay, no, this is a thing that I want to try to do for the class?
I think I had looked into it like late February, early March, but then I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it around testing times. I know they get very stressed.
Yeah.
Sitting in a room all day testing. I was like, okay, I'm gonna save it for testing to like surprise them as like a good job, you guys. Like you guys actually like sat for 4 hours and took a state standardized test, which suck.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Those were never fun. For
fourth and fifth grade. And then their end of year trip that would have been around that time got canceled because of COVID. So it was like, they didn't really get a full school year how like our kids last year or in previous years did.
Yeah.
So I felt bad. And I was like, I'm going to adopt an orca for them. Make them smile. So they're showing interest in.
Yeah.
This.
No. And that would work a treat. As a year thing, is that going to, are they going to keep their orca in the next class that they go to? Because it's going to have the little.
Because I know our fifth graders, they're going to different schools.
Oh, I see.
So like here, the way that Miami's huge. So it's like, yeah, they don't really stay in school together.
Okay.
But for next year's kids, I don't know if I'm going to do like a contest and whoever wins gets to choose which one we adopt or we're going to readopt the same one. I don't know. One of my students did adopt Lazuli, which made me very happy.
Oh, that's adorable.
One of my heartstrings is a little happy.
Which one did you adopt for the class?
Lapis,
right. Do you remember the pod and the number at all? I think it's
L103.
Beautiful. That's fantastic. So you've also told me that Orca Mania has also hit the rest of the classrooms.
Yeah. If I'm right.
How did that happen?
Because a lot of them, they talk to each other outside of school.
Yeah.
So I'm one of the youngest people working in the building. I'm only 22.
Okay. Yeah.
So a lot of them look up to me in a different way than they would like the older staff members.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once they saw me like really participate in like what we were doing, they turned around and they told their friends, hey, Miss Vicky is adopting us an orca. And then it became like random parents were like, what do you mean you're adopting an orca? How does that work? Here, like,
Do you have a pool in the backyard? How
the amount of does it li- is like is the orca coming here that I got? I was like, no, like it lives in the wild. We're just like kind of sponsoring it for the year. I did get a lot of hate from some parents, but whatever.
What one? Why in the world would any parent hate on it? I feel like that's just dumb. Right.
They were like, oh, it's stupid. It doesn't even live. I'm like, how the fuck are they going to transport a wild orca to Miami, Florida?
Do you know how much that would cost?
I'm like, do you know how much transportation?
Bro, the amount of money that it takes to transport an orca, let alone keep one in any place. That's the one thing, like, whenever people talk about captivity right now, I'm like, there's nobody that has the money to take care of orcas casually. Exactly. Like, anywhere at all. The closest person to was Michael Jackson, and he tried, and he was also turned down, which is absurd. What does the so that was what the hate looked like. That makes
sense. It was really just like, oh, it's dumb, or I don't think that's like fun. And I'm like, okay, well, your kid likes it.
I was gonna say, you don't have to. No, that makes it easy.
Yeah, I was like, it's not about you. Like, yeah, I'm not asking you to give me money for it. Like,
no, and also too, like,
I paid out of pocket, out of the kindness of my heart.
I sincerely have to applaud you in a number of ways, though, if only because, like, I know I would have gone absolutely insane had my fifth grade teacher done that or something to that degree. Like, you're probably going to be able to see this better than anybody else because, like, it's there, but the kids have to appreciate this, and you have to see it in them whenever you're talking about this or when you're, like, when you engage with them about something that they're interested in, which I feel like a lot of teachers don't do.
It's like, I could see it in their faces, like the genuine excitement of like, oh my God, we have an orca. And they went home and they told their parents. And this one mom came up to me and she was like, you are crazy, but I love it. she was like, my daughter who was on TikTok to like eat shit, like is now following like this man who's like actually educating her on something. And she like hugged me. She was like, thank you. Like, my daughter's actually showing interest in some form of science, which she's never done before in her life.
Yeah.
It made me
cry.
That's
fantastic. Because that's really powerful. For especially fifth grade, like, that's a very important, or that's a very impressionable age where you can kind of make some big decisions about how you view the world and the things that you can think of as, like, possibilities.
Yeah.
At the least.
And then also, like, the promise of, oh, we're going to watch Free Willy, which a lot of them had never seen because that's not their time.
Yeah.
A lot of them had, like, never heard of it.
Well, it's a very, very, very old movie.
Yeah. Right
now, like, it's not only old, but also too, like, it's not being circulated anywhere.
No. Like, I had to buy DVDs because our VHS player at work does not work. And if we have it on VHS, we don't have it on DVD. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go on Amazon, buy the DVDs, and we're going to watch it.
That's awesome.
I think that was like a huge, oh my God, they were like excited. It was like the day I announced that Lapis was adopted, we watched Free Willy the day after, and then we watched Free Willy 2 and 3.
That's and awesome. Four. Yeah, whatever. But being that's a killer whale week. Like, that's a big deal still.
But it carried on so much so that, like, I have a pile of letters amongst my classroom things that they've written for you. They've drawn you pictures, they've made you bracelets. Like, it's not just like that they're like thanking me. It's like they've become attached to you.
I'm trying to keep that in mind even more so going forward. And it was one of the things about the video that I sent as soon as you adopted Lapis, because one, the excitement that was there, but two, it's just a little aside. There's one other podcast that I like, one podcast that I listen to continuously, and I sent in a question, and it's like relatively big. It makes me look like nothing. And they answered it on the air, and I just like sat down. I'm like, we exist in the same universe? Like, what? Who are you? And so for that, like, even that little video, that made that much more exciting, at least for me too, because I know for a fact it's important to a certain extent.
They were extremely impactful. Like, they were like excited. Like, they told everybody, like, this guy from TikTok sent us a video and he said Vicky's name. And they were like freaked out. Like, I'm telling you, I had kids cry watching the video, and I was like, you're doing the most, but that's okay. You're very excited.
You're good. You're all set. That's right. Yeah, and they can also bask in the glory. They're the only people to ever get one.
Yeah.
Not hasn't existed yet.
It's I like favorite in my camera roll. It's like the video of them and then the video of you. Like
those two are great.
Well, their excitement was just nuts.
Oh, it was. When I turned on the video that you sent to me when you told them, like, I had to turn down my volume.
I don't know if you hear them in the beginning when I'm asking them if they know what I did.
Yeah.
I don't know if you hear them. They're like, you're pregnant. I'm like, why would I bring you outside? Yes. I'm like, don't put that in the air. And then no, it's like, you're married. I'm like, why would I bring you outside to tell you that I'm married?
It's like, not that. Now, they wouldn't squeal as much, I feel like, for either of those things.
One of the little girls, I had to crop it out of the video. She was like, you're dating New Yorker man. I was like, no, I was like, I'm gonna crop that out of the video. I was like, that's uncalled for.
Oh, too bad. They're very invested in your personal life, I gotta say. As children are though.
Because I told them if they were the ones that found me a husband, they could all go to my wedding. So they went hard on TikTok.
I give them a lot. Oh, that's hysterical that they actually went looking.
They did. They found a couple candidates, I guess.
I give them a lot of props for that. So
yeah, they're very invested little humans.
Oh yeah. Gotcha. How'd you end up getting the gig at the place you are now?
I went there as a kid. So I knew everybody.
That's awesome.
So they knew me when I was obsessed with orcas and wanted to be an orca trainer.
And then you're walking in and the school's looking around, they're just like, okay, all right, we're in full swing now.
Once they heard the word orca, my boss immediately calls me down and goes, I know it's you. Like what? Like what? She's like, there's no one else in this building that could rattle children so much so to speak about anything. She's like, you have literally gotten the children to ban plastic straws from the cafeteria, refuse to use plastic utensils. She's like, I know it's you. She's like, there's no other like way, like there's no other human.
So wait, hold up. So this is a little bit different now too. In the school this year, and is this like, what have the kids done in terms of that? Because I know you said earlier that like, you're like, oh, if you bring plastic stuff in, we're not going to watch the Orca Man today. But changing the school policy is a little bit different.
So I'm very pro zero waste. I'm very pro zero waste. You're like minimizing our waste as much as possible.
Definitely.
Like I have bamboo utensils. I have a reusable water bottle. I have a reusable coffee cup. Like the kids know that. I'm very like pro, like trying to reduce our waste. And this little boy noticed I was wearing I had a bracelet with a turtle on it. Mm-hmm. So I goes, do you like turtles? I was like, yeah, I do. I really like the ocean. And he was like, oh yeah, like I stopped using plastic straws because they're bad for the turtles.
Yeah.
And the kid behind him asked him like, how? And that kind of became like the conversation. And I was like, okay, I like where this is going. I was like, yeah, we can't use turtles. Well, everyone knows the picture with like the turtle with the straw on the nose. And I was like, but it goes beyond that, you guys. Like, this is an issue. Like, microplastics exist. They're real. We eat about 4 pounds of them in a year.
Yeah.
All of them sitting there like, I'm 10. I've eaten 40 pounds of plastic in my life. Like, yeah, imagine me that I'm old. I'm older than you guys.
A little bit different.
Yeah. So they were like, and then two of them like went to the principal. And they asked her, they were like, do we have to have plastic straws in the cafeteria? I don't like them. And she was like, well, yeah, because of the milk. And this kid goes, but we don't really need them. And the lady was like, you know, our principal's like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, but we really don't need them. They're very, the ones they would give them were very thin and flimsy anyways.
Sure.
So then our kids, like as a collective whole, wrote to the county. And the county, as a collective whole, which I'm very proud of them, stopped using plastic straws.
The county?
Yeah, like they took it so far as to tell their older siblings and their friends, and a bunch of kids were writing to the county. It just became a countywide movement, and the whole county stopped using plastic straws.
All because you wore a bracelet.
Right. I don't know if that was like the sole reason, but like, took part in like, I know we were one of the schools that reached out to the county. And the county was impressed because they were so young and so like eloquently written in like their research. Like the kids were like, no, because you know, the oceans and the turtles. And this one kid actually wrote about microplastics.
Yeah.
Because I had talked to him about it. And he like went home and like looked up what they were. And he like even wrote in his letter to the county, to the district, like, you know, they're in our soil. So like, even as we consume vegetables, like they're there.
Yeah.
And it made me so proud. All because I wore a bracelet with a turtle on it, which I wear all the time. That's, I just didn't like, I, it's the smallest things that you don't even think that they notice.
Yeah.
That they, well, really do. And they'll ask you questions.
Not only that, but like, I think the most fascinating part of that entire saga for me is the kid behind him who asked how.
Yeah.
He's like, oh no, the like plastic straws is about to the bad for the turtles. He's like, wait, how does that work? Because that, like, thinking on that kind of level critically as a fifth grader, that's something that, like, I didn't get until mid to late high school, even personally. Like, understanding the full, like, supply chain, where it goes after waste and things like that, and, like, understanding that it's a totality, like, that's fantastic to see that that's the interest.
I love and hate the internet at the same time, because I know he didn't come to that conclusion on his own.
Yeah.
I know he had to have seen it via TikTok or Instagram, or all of them are like on literally most social media platforms. So like, I know he saw it somewhere.
Of course.
And I'm assuming he took interest in, or he felt bad for the turtles or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then he kind of like, because he knew a little bit about what I was talking about with microplastics.
Yeah. He was able to like keep up at least with the conversation.
Yeah, like he understood what I was trying to say, and he like kind of described it to the kid behind him in a way that a 10-year-old would be able to understand it. That's was great, because I was like, this kid is going places in the future.
He is. And that's also one of the biggest things that I'm trying to wrap my head around the more that I like actively enter the field of orcas and marine science and the rest, is like, people talk about conservation in very weird ways, and a lot of the big conservation that happens is very like, write to your senators, write to your congressmen, write to like write or like act in certain ways and like reduce your own personal waste. But the social aspect is not as heavily tapped into as it could be. Like, the kids in the county focusing on the schools probably did more than 20 people or like a group of adults that would try to gather together and talk to it. If only because the kids are the ones that are being immediately affected and like within the school system.
Yeah, I think that's really why the county paid attention, because I think the kids, I know it was our school and a bunch of like our whole feeder pattern.
Yeah.
So feeder patterns here in our district are made up of schools, three high schools. So you have about 9 schools. Because most of us know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all texting each other, hey, you know, our kids are writing to the county about plastic straws.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, let me ask my kids their opinion. And it became like our feeder pattern did it. And I know a couple other feeder patterns did it. So you have like 20 something schools writing to the county, begging them to stop using plastic straws. And we're the largest county in the country, like the largest school district in the country.
That's insane.
Kids are begging the county to be like, stop. Like, we're a huge county as it is.
Yeah.
You have millions of students using plastic every day.
And that's one way to end it. I hope that they understand the like breadth of impact that that has, because that not only affects them, that affects every iteration of classes that comes after them too.
Yeah.
Like, that's, there are lobby politicians that can't do that stuff. Like, there are people that, like, that's their entire job and they can't get the job done.
I think it's just because they're kids, and I think they showed such an adamant interest in all of this.
Yeah.
That it really made an impact. Because I think, like, even my boss, like, stepped back and was like, these kids really care. I'm like, yeah, because I talk to them and they actually, like, enjoy, like, what I have to say.
And
I was like, I explained to her that there was a TikTok page, like, that you are who you are.
Yeah.
She was like, that's so strange that the kids, and I was like, leave it be. Like,
it's outside of the classroom. And when it is,
they're at home. I was like, what they find on TikTok is at home. I was like, if they come in to show me the next day, it's different.
Yeah. No, it's not immediate from there. That's crazy. All right. So they've banned plastic straws. So you also mentioned that each classroom next year is going to have an orca adoption, if I'm right. I hear that right?
Yes, because it became such a phenomenon, and all my coworkers were asking me, like, what, like, how did you manage to get the kids so interested in something? I was like, honestly, it started with one little girl seeing a TikTok, showing me the TikTok, and then her friends becoming interested in who this person was and what he does. And, you know, I was like, they're actually interested, and it's something that is a fun activity, because I know the classroom pack comes with like worksheets and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, you know, after testing, it's like a good, even before, we could do it as like a whole year activity, you know, and you can, as a side activity, because they're, even kindergartners were like interested in like orcas and what they were.
Just in general, as like an animal.
Yeah, they were like, it's big. It's it's huge. That's I think insane. The biggest shocker to kinder was that the white patch is not an eye.
Oh yeah, because that's a wild like, concept even for
like,
me now.
What? They were like, that's not their eye. I was like, no, it's not their eye. And that's then even one of the ladies that works with me, she literally came up to me and she was like, I had no idea that orcas were like this. And I was, you know, the kids were talking about dorsal fins and how big they really are.
Yeah.
And like how big orcas actually are. And she came up to me, she goes, you know, I've been to this aquarium almost once a year for Lolita's entire captivity. And I have not once like realized how big she actually is.
Yeah. It's it takes a lot. Sometimes it takes kids or a village. That's fantastic. Yeah. I have to tell you that like this, your story in Miami is, or just like the community there, my favorite part of this so far. Like genuinely, because it's the most real world impact that I've seen, like in terms of taking information and then just running with it that hasn't already been created, because the Pacific Northwest is very within itself, but seeing the kids and you getting them in the community itself excited, like I cannot commend you enough.
Thank you.
Because that, like, it's insane. Like, that's wild. Like, to the fullest extent. What was the...
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
What was the first time that teachers... Or do you remember, like, in the beginning when teachers would start talking to you, like, what those conversations would be?
Like, when I was a student?
No, when, like right now, like, as a teacher teaching the kids, and, like, other teachers are coming up to you being like, yo, Vic, what is going on?
I think the first one was one of the teacher's kids that was in my classroom.
Okay.
Went back to her mom and was like, oh, this guy from TikTok, like, he talks about orcas, and I think they're really cool. And then she was like, can we go outside of this aquarium? Because it's a very common fact that people here do protest the latest living conditions outside of the Miami Sea Aquarium all the time.
Yeah, literally every day.
She came up to me, she's like, hey, what are you talking to him about? And I was like, oh, you know, so-and-so showed me a video that this guy posted on and she was talking to your daughter and her little group of friends, and like they all kind of were like genuinely curious. So I answered whatever questions they had, and they wanted to know about the orca that lives here, Lolita, and you know, I kind of like talked about it in the gist of the information I know about Lolita, which is not much, very limited.
It's all right.
Because the Miami Sea Aquarium doesn't really...
They don't give much information out.
They've turned off their comments on Instagram from the amount of shit that they've received. And I've gone to the Miami Sea Aquarium to, you know, protest, and I've seen them. I've even driven by intoxicated. Well, I wasn't driving. I was in the car, and I've cried driving past them.
It's because Lolita's story is... the largest story of a captive killer whale that's currently alive at the very least.
I mean, she was brought to the Miami Aquarium the same year my dad was born.
Hold up, it was 1970.
And she was like 5 or 6, so she's been there 51 years now.
And she was ridiculous with Hugo for about 30 of them. If you haven't yet, there is a talk by Jason Colby, and I'll try to link it in the chat, because Jason Colby wrote a book, Orca, How We Came to Know and Love the Ocean's Greatest Predator, and its main character, so to speak, is this guy named Ted Griffin. I'm not sure how much you've heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's he was one of the big starters, if not the starter, of the orca capturing industry in the Pacific Northwest. He was the one who initiated the captures at Penn Cove, which Lolita was a part of.
Yeah.
Brought her in. But in one of Jason's talks, because he talks about it in the book a little bit, but in one of his talks, he talks about introducing Ted back to Lolita after 40 to 50 years. And it's a crazy and wild story, and it becomes more personal than I ever thought about orcas ever. Because I used to think about orcas like, oh, Willie, Keiko, like they're whales that are far off, but just like see the connections they have with certain people in different areas. It's just wild. That's wild.
Yeah, it's definitely something that like, it's mind boggling to me, especially here that like, so I don't know. Well, I don't think you've ever been here.
No, I haven't.
Okay. So not too far from Miami Sea Aquarium.
Yeah.
Is the original aquarium, which is now abandoned.
Okay.
The original whale aquarium is like 3 times the size of Lolita's current tank.
Really?
Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know it exists unless you're from here, because it's, I think they had it and they never put Lolita in it. Okay. It was built and then it was abandoned. So like Lolita and Hugo were supposed to be in there. Yeah. It's literally now abandoned, covered in graffiti. It's like a spot for people to take pictures at. Like,
that's insane.
People skate where the tank is built because it's empty.
That's nuts.
And it's like 3 times the size of what she currently lives in.
I'm gonna have to take a visit. You're gonna have to show me the spot when I come down.
Thank you. It is,
because that's
insane to me. Like you like walk along the side and you're like, this is a lot bigger than what. And if you see, I have to find the picture. I think there's an aerial view of like the abandoned one versus the...
Oh, there's got to be. Also, too, you can...
I think there is. I'm pretty sure it exists. I'll find it.
Even with Google Satellite. Once we post the podcast, I'll throw it up on my Instagram, so you can go check it out on there to anybody listening. But that's got to be wild. That's another thing, too. I was... With defunding a lot of the marine parks, that was one of the things that I was most interested in the beginning. Even on TikTok, when people ask me about captivity, it's like one of the things that I'll continuously say is they need... to be open to care for the whales. Like there's definitely parks that can do that.
I have a very controversial opinion on captivity.
What do you got?
Like I tell like a lot of my students, obviously when they started getting interested in you, they would ask me like, oh, well, what do you think? And I was like, well, yes, it's bad, but I was like, where are they going to put them? Like there is no other place to send them. I was like, we send them to the wild, they're gonna die or be eaten by another pod of whales. I was like, we literally cannot, like they have to pass away in captivity. Because there's no other way to like release them into the wild. You cannot rehabilitate them. You can't. Yeah. And then another, there's a lady at my job that loves to argue with me on my opinion on captivity. She's like, oh, but they can catch birds. I'm like, okay, your dog could catch a squirrel, pack of wolves, and your dog is not going to survive.
Yeah, go have fun.
Thing.
Yeah.
Also, but yeah, your cat could kill a lizard, but go put your cat with a pack of tigers. It's not going to do its same, the same job. Like,
no, it's also used to, this is another thing. I'm always interested with the trainers. I want to try to talk to a trainer on here explicitly, if only because like people can say whatever they want to about the relationship between trainers and orcas. I've only read one book by a trainer themselves, who talked about how she interacted and how the whales would interact with her. And it, that also has to have some semblance of an effect, whether or not they transfer or where they're going or like they're seeking human interaction. Because that's another big thing, is that if wild orcas are, or if orcas are accustomed to interacting with humans and they go up to the wrong boat, they're screwed. Some guy turns the motor the wrong way and that's game over. Like there's a lot of stuff that's there that makes that conversation even more interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, the student, like my students were very like, they had a lot of questions and I was like, I don't think I have all these answers.
There were
things that like I felt like I didn't have answers for.
If you ever end up getting that and you want to like write up a list to send my way, do it all the time. Because even if I can't, this is one of the things that I'm trying to do right now, is I'm trying to build enough of a research community that I'll be able to find the answers to whatever questions there might be. And that's also to any audience members. If you have questions, I can figure it out.
He does respond to DMs.
It is in fact a thing. No, there's also too, like, it's funny the people that you meet through social media channels, because there was actually one woman who was a trainer for a little bit at SeaWorld, and she is a network of trainers that she talks to. And I was able to like send a photo of a whale that I was like standing in front of when I was a child. And it said like, this was the park it was, this is the year. And they were able to like ID the whale and tell me who she was.
That's crazy.
Like, this is insane. Like, yeah. I'm like, that kind of stuff is like, people don't, orcas were orcas when I was a kid. It was just like the idea of the animal itself was the fascinating part, and then learning the individuals.
I thought they were cool. Like I was like, oh, you know, Free Willy, like,
of course,
same animal.
Yeah. All right, so we're inching up on a little bit over an hour, but one of the things that I really wanted to pick your brain at, especially for anybody that's listening that is a teacher, it's practices for getting kids excited. So some of the things you did this year, what are some of the things you did this year that the kids really responded well to, or things you noticed and picked up on and then acted on that worked out really well?
I know aside from like the orca thing, like Harry Potter talk was huge during quarantine.
Okay.
Like all these kids came back. Oh, I think Draco's hot. And I think so and so's cute. And I'm like, have you read the books? You know, let's start.
Yeah.
And I think it just started with like taking their, in what I would see they were interested in, and trying to like squeeze it into like, how can I make this a lesson? Or like, how can I keep their interest using something that they're visibly excited about to keep them engaged? Because I know as a kid, I was like, when it came to math, I was always super bored. When it came to math class, like I was like, who the fuck? To this day, I can't do math. I use TikTok to teach math. It was nuts. I don't know how it worked, but it did.
Good for you.
Like I was like, oh, if so-and-so gains 10 followers every hour, how many followers will so-and-so gain every hour? And they learned. And I was like, if I tell you, if I get this many apples in the hour, you can't. Like,
it's the difference.
Yeah, it was literally like, it's like in the office, like that this guy can only do math with like pi. it was like finding their like niche and like going with it.
Gotcha. That's important. That's
and like
huge.
Making sure they were like obviously age appropriate activities. Like
you gotta play with it.
I think with like science, you know, the orcas were so interesting because it was like, it's a very specific animal, but there's so much you can talk about habitats. You can talk about the way that they work in pods, the fact that they're matriarchs. Like there's so many lessons you can do with just this animal species.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Like, they really liked the whole competition that they had to find the most interesting fact, because it really got them to, like, think. And you, like, would see the excitement in, like, the fact that there's a competition and there's a prize. So they were like, they would just go at it and typing and typing and typing and typing and just looking for it. Like, okay, she said she knows this, she knows that, she knows this.
Yeah.
It was like something that I didn't know already. So they were like,
that's a big deal.
Going at it.
That's also one of the things with that particular exercise, is being able to critically think about the questions to ask to find the facts. Because you can, yeah, you can just look up orca facts if you want to, but, like, going through and trying to really sift through the stuff, I guarantee you did in college. The stuff that I know I did is just, like, looking through, like, what works, what actual, what arguments, how does this support, how does this not support, whatever else. Like, those skills are extremely transferable, you know, even in fifth grade.
That's why I was like, I want them to do it, because they, a lot of them I found with, like, our testing, this is a different tangent, but, like, with state standardized testing,
yeah,
I don't know how it works where you're originally from. You said Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you have, like, testing up there.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the kids, they memorize the fuck out of everything. You ask them to apply it, they don't know how to.
Yeah.
So I was like, I know they know how to memorize, but they don't know how to study.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this is something that they can use later in life that will become applicable. I know I didn't know how to properly study till, like, I hit, like, late middle school, early high school. Because up until that point, with Florida's testing, my whole life was memorization.
Yeah.
Everything
was just regurgitating, whatever.
Exactly. And I was always really good at science. So I never studied for a science class in my life, not even in college.
Wow. Well done.
Thank you.
That's impressive. There's a lot of people that can't say
that. I took oceanography and marine biology as my two sciences. I didn't have to. That I left my professor shocked, because my professor was like, I've never had someone earn an A in this class and not buy the textbook.
That's well done. That's a big deal.
To this day is like, you, I still talk to him often. He had another person sit there, because he put up a picture of a shark and he goes, who can identify the shark? I was like, duh, an oceanic black tip. He goes, how do you know that? I was like, you can't tell the difference between that and a white tip. Like, you're screwed.
Like, so sorry, buddy, you're done.
Because black tips are naturally human aggressive and they'll fuck you up to fuck you up. White tips are not. So I was like, duh, if you don't know the difference, like, you're fucked. And he was like, you actually know this? I was like, yeah. And he was like, you don't even need a bad textbook. Like, you're going to do well in my class. And I had him, I had the same professor twice. And when I went back in for marine biology, he was like,
you're fine.
He was like, it's you. He's like,
don't worry about it.
He was like, you're going to ace us with your eyes closed.
That's awesome. That's really, no, that's solid. And even more than that too, it's like, that's got to be fun as something that you're, for all intents and purposes, that's your niche that you were able to kind of, like, extend even further there. Like, for the kids, like, oh, I'm really into orcas. It's like, learn a lot about them. And then, like, I'm gonna, if you can be tested on them and on about something that you know.
Yeah, I don't believe in homework or testing. I'm a very
learning for this, like, learning for the sake of learning is kind of important.
Yeah, like, I get called a hippie by every teacher in the building. Cause that's just how I am. Like, I literally wear like giant t-shirts, Birkenstocks, like, to work. And then I sit there and I tell the kids, I'm like, well, you know what? We don't have homework in this class. Like,
I,
whatever you don't finish is what you take home to do.
And the thing with the class is you've given them enough agency as people to go out and do the things that they wanted to as well. Like, to actively affect change at the same point in time.
Like, all the parents have my number. They all know how to reach me. So, like, even now that it's summer.
Yeah.
My phone is, like, constant. I literally have, like, emails. Oh, Lord, I have emails. Okay.
Yeah.
I have, like, emails and texts from parents, even now.
Yeah.
That are like, hey, so-and-so wants to travel to see orcas. Where do I take them? So-and-so said that you were going to go to Friday Harbor in August. Are you still going? I'm like, maybe.
Like, looks open.
Depending on, I don't want to see you on vacation, but maybe. Very small island. Like, I don't want to come across you. No offense. I just don't want to come across you.
I'm going there to go on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be babysitting.
The parents know. They're like, the Patriots phone case is always open.
the Patriot. Also, it's funny that it's a Patriots phone.
I was kidding.
Do you get? Oh no, I saw it as soon as you lifted it up. And anybody that's on either the radio or Spotify or any other app right now, you got to come on to the YouTube to see it. Why pay it? Why Pats? Just
My dad came from Cuba. My dad immigrated here in 1994, I think.
Gotcha.
That was the first team he saw play.
Oh, they would do it.
So he literally, my closet is full of Patriots gear. I have Patriots everything, basically. I've been a huge Patriots fan my whole life. I get a lot of shit for it because I live in Miami.
Fair. Makes a lot of sense.
And that's like one of the most infamous rivals is Dolphins and Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend is a hardcore Dolphins fan.
That's
his dad. They have like season tickets. So every time the Patriots play here, we go. And I get a lot of
sick.
I got a lot of stares.
Mm.
We always end up on the Jumbotron because we look funny. I'll be sitting in the Dolphins section of head to toe.
Pat's gear.
Jerseys and my face is painted and I go all out.
That's awesome. That's the right way to go, though. I gotta say, I am a Steel. I'm from Massachusetts, from Boston, but I'm a Steelers fan.
I can respect that.
Steelers are decent. They're not
you're a Cowboys fan.
Not a chance. Not a chance. I don't believe they exist, actually.
I deny their existence. I'm like,
yeah, I was gonna say I haven't seen them. No, but in terms of rivalries, I grew up a Yankee fan in Boston. That was fun. So I feel you're
a Yankees fan.
I'm a Yankees fan.
Me too.
Hey, good stuff. They're not doing well.
New York.
What's up?
My grandma grew up in New York when she immigrated here. So.
Oh, cool. My dad's from Brooklyn.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's always been fun going down. I even went to a game when I went back home, which was, oh my God, I love it. It's just so nice to be able to go.
How was being back home after being in a different country for so long?
Well, because it wasn't even being in a different country. I was in Canada. I don't know how many people know this. Like, Vancouver itself was shut down for about a year and a half. Like, I didn't see more than 15 people from March of 2020 until I went back home. And I didn't leave Canada. I hadn't gone back home for the year and a half. So no summer, no Christmas, stuff like that. Wow. So walking back into not only Boston and like seeing everybody, but like having things open, like I went out clubbing for like, two or three days a week.
It's a big
for
step.
A month. Yeah. Well, I was ready. And also too, I had never been 21 in the States.
Yeah, so, I turned 21 locked in the house.
Yeah. I was 21 here. I was 21 here when I turned, and I just never stepped into, I never was able to drink at home legally. So finally being able to go out, that was a blast.
Here when the clubs reopened, like I was never home because I mean, I had to turn 21 locked in the house. It sucked.
It's kind of terrible.
You went through a similar thing, assuming.
Oh, of course. It's dangerous. It sucked when it happened, but as soon as you get the green light, it's like, okay, game on.
My birthday's in April, so it was like it was like dead pandemic. Like everything was shut down.
Damn.
I was able to 20. So.
Were you able to go for 2021, like this April, like by April this year, was things opened up? Because I have a friend that's in Tampa, and I'm pretty sure he was pretty okay.
Things have been. COVID existed here for like 3 months max, and then everything was
wild.
Miami was very odd.
Yeah.
Like here, like my 21st, it was in April, so it was like right as the pandemic kind of started to really take effect.
Sure.
I was born on 420, ironically enough.
Oh, look at that.
So like it hit, like I was really locked in a house. I think I went to like our grocery store and I got myself like beer.
Yeah.
Like that was it. That was my birthday.
Yeah.
Like my neighbor like gave me a tequila bottle over the fence. I've known them for years. And he was like, it sucks. You're turning 20. Like you can legally drink now. You're stuck at home.
So fun. That's just what you want to hit.
This is great. Everything is fine.
That's all right. Well, when you say 3 months, if it happened in March, April, May, was things open up like last summer then?
Towards like August, things like, yeah. So the clubs didn't really open up till like August, September.
Sure.
But the beaches were never really closed.
Mm-hmm.
So people were still going to the beach. They just had like, you couldn't, they tried to like crowd control, like, oh, you can't bring alcohol, you can't do this at the third, but
sure.
You know,
you can't. Okay, sure. Yeah, tell me.
I was not behaving during quarantine either. Mm-hmm. I was like at home the first like I was like at home, I want to say to like May, and then I started working again in person in June.
Yeah.
At a summer camp, so like that was like, all right, you're I was out. Like, I'm in it. Like that's it. Like fuck it. If I'm gonna get sick, I'm gonna get sick.
Yeah. And well, especially it's a community thing at that point in time too. It's like. This is what we've decided to do.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, like summer camps are open. We're working full time. Yeah. I was like, if we're going to get sick, we're going to get sick. And then there was like, this clubs were open, but they were closing early.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, you can go clubbing till 12.
Interesting.
I was like, yeah, okay. I can only catch the virus at 12:01.
Yeah. That's the onward. Cutoff point.
Yeah, right. Like, all right. It's 12:01. The virus is active, everybody. Like, no. So people were going to each other's houses, a lot of house parties.
Yeah. Makes sense.
The local band scene here was still extremely active, COVID or not.
Those always find a way.
That is something I like to do. I do like those things.
Mm.
To the point that my students listen to the music I listen to now, and I think it's kind of scary. That.
If you had to plug any artists, what would you plug?
The Midday Mood. They're the best.
Midday Mood. Oh, you have them up already. Nice.
Shirt on.
Midday Mood.
And yeah. And Happy Hour, the band, depending on what you like.
Okay. And check both of them out. Midday Moon and Happy Hour.
Yeah.
As any of the listeners too. Well, that works a treat. All right. So as of right now, I feel like we're just hitting over an hour. So this is as good a place to wrap it up as any. Thank you so much again. Do you want to give a shout out just in case any of your kids are listening? Because there's a good chance that they might be. Not to like names or anything like that, but if you want to say.
I'm not going to say any names, but if she is listening, she knows who she is. And I love her and I miss her dearly. And I'm still single.
This is coming up on another story. She was very adamant
about me and her brother. She was very adamant. No, and she's going to middle school, so I wish her good luck. Aww. I miss her dearly. I cried when she left. She was the one that I had sent you the picture of, that her end of year award was most likely to free the orcas.
Oh yeah.
she was the one that really like took Orca Mania and like ran with it. The reason it started. Like it started with her and then like it became like
grew.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you feed. That's too wonderful. All right. Well, once again, guys, I am Fred the Orca Man, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
I want to thank Miss Vicky again for coming on and talking with me for this hour. You can find the full hour and 20 minute podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts rather, and all of your other favorite audio streaming platforms, as well as YouTube if you'd like to see a film version. Otherwise, Miss Vicky and her class has been
so inspirational. This is Sir Reginald Wainsmere, composer of
along this journey as the Orca Man, and has really actually shaped the way that I have thought about producing educational content with